Y'all doing all right?
Yeah.
It's great to see you. Okay, well, you did great on the good morning. It's all right. Thank you guys for being here today. As you're going to see in a moment, it's an important day for us as we move into the back-to-school season, as we begin our fall ministry season. For those of you who are new with us, my name is Brandon, and I look forward to meeting you. If you want to open your Bibles, if you haven't already, we're going to be in Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28, to remember our mission together. But first, let's begin with this timely question. Did you buy things on tax-free weekend that you did not intend to buy? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm sure some of that happened. I wanted to, but our toddler ran out of steam before I made it to Cavender's. But it goes like this. A family is on a mission to get some deals on shoes. Guys, we need to get school shoes. Kids, gather around. Our mission is back to school, tax-free shoes, clear mission. But a couple hours later, the mission seems to have shifted. This happened to some of you. Maybe the mom likes this tax-free thing, and suddenly she's got one of everything from Marshall's. Or the dad is asking, I wonder if cowboy hats from Cavender's are part of tax-free weekend. By the way, guys, I am planning to get a cowboy hat. I'm going to wear it around Tyler, and I just want to say it. So that it's not awkward, or at least less awkward, when we see each other at a grocery store and I'm wearing an awesome cowboy hat, even though I've only lived in Texas for a year. I always read my sermons to Scarlett on Friday night, and when I read that to her, she's like, are you soft launching a cowboy hat at church tomorrow? Apparently so. But that's mission drift. You start out with one mission, school shoes for kids. But eventually you slide into an entirely different mission, Western wear for dads. There was actually a book written about mission drift 10 years ago that shared stories of Christian ministries that started with one mission, but over time left that mission behind entirely. One of the most famous examples in the book is Harvard University. Did you know that Harvard was founded in 1636 with the stated mission to train students to know God and Jesus Christ? But even over just the first few decades, it began to drift from the mission to the point that it's now a fully secular research-driving university. Or did you know that pawn shops are one of the oldest and most extreme examples of mission drift? Today, we know pawn shops as profit-driven businesses often aimed at people in need, but they were originally founded as nonprofit religious charities designed to protect the poor. Crazy. And the point is that it is not that hard to drift away from a mission into an entirely opposite mission in some cases. And as the Church of Jesus, we have truly the most important mission on earth, which means it is most important that we constantly, consistently return to that mission and remind ourselves of it so that we never drift from it. And as we begin a new ministry year, the question before us today is this. Are we still going to accomplish the mission of the church? In a world filled with distraction and drift, are we going to be the church we are called to be? Are we going to be what Jesus wants for the world? I'm convinced the answer is yes. And that's because some of you have already walked together for 5 years, 20 years, 50 years in our 8 o'clock service, 60 years in this church. Some of you were rescued by Jesus in the mission of this church. Many of you have had your lives changed by God's mission in this church, and we're going to consider that mission together again today. So let's read Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. To be reminded of the mission and to focus on who it's really about. Let's read. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That is the mission. The way we talk about that here at Grace is that we are to be and make disciples of Jesus for the glory of God. Are we going to do that, or are we going to drift away from that? So I want us to see three things from this text that will help us stay on the big, beautiful mission together. Here's the first. The message of our mission is Jesus. We've got a lot of options before us, but Jesus is the message. The text said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So our mission is to lead people to the triune God and baptize them into the life that Jesus modeled and taught perfectly. He said in verse 20, "Teach them to observe all that I have commanded," right? So the first thing we see is that we're not to drift away from making disciples of Jesus and baptizing people into the life of Jesus. Jesus is our message. Let's start with the word baptizing there. This is really a three-word sermon today. I'm going to take a long time to talk about three words, but it's a three-word sermon. Baptizing is the first. It means submerge. I don't want to scare you too much. 35-ish minutes. Okay. It means submerge or wash. And when we consider the command to baptize in light of what the scripture teaches us about baptism, we understand that baptism is an expression of the life-changing work of Jesus itself. The beauty of baptism is that it demonstrates the most important message in the world, which is our mission. Read Colossians 2, 12 and 13. "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses." Guys, baptism, the baptism that Jesus told us to share around the world, reminds us that the whole world is full of broken people who need Jesus. Baptism is a visual reminder that we were all dead in our sin on our own. I wasn't good enough to be reconciled to God. You weren't righteous enough to get to live in his presence, even though humanity was made, was created for life and joy with God, but we rejected him and we can't have that back on our own. The message of our mission is that Jesus took our sin and died our death and then rose again. Baptism is a picture of that. Paul wrote, "Having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, and you who were dead in your trespasses, God made alive." So our message is planet Earth. Jesus wants to rescue you. Tyler, Jesus wants to make you alive. East Texas. And the farther you get from Tyler in East Texas, the more cowboy hats you see. Jesus wants you to have life and have it in abundance. Trust in him displayed through baptism. And here is where mission drift often comes in. Any other message that we have must drive all the way to that message. No other message is our mission. Think about some of the other important messages that we can and do and want to model at our church, but that they alone cannot be the message. Our message can't be, "We are authentic people." Can't be just that. I've asked hundreds of you what first brought you to Grace, and this might be what I heard the most. People at Grace are open and humble and real, but as beautiful as that is, authenticity alone can't be our message. It's only a result of the real message. Our message is we are open about ourselves and about our real struggles because real, broken, struggling people are who Jesus rescues and saves. We can be authentic because we know that we are the sick people that Jesus came for in the first place, and that's our message. Here's another one. Our message can't be we are gracious people. There is no doubt that one of the main messages of our church is in our name. For decades, Grace Community has been patient with one another and gentle with sinners and caring for one another in all kinds of needs. I found that to be true of Doug, our senior pastor. In fact, the microphone thing that just happened is a great example. There's a famous clip online of a pastor just ripping sound folks because something went wrong with the microphone. Doug's like, you want me to try a third mic? I'll try a third mic. And hundreds of you that I've gotten to spend one-on-one time with display that. If you want the people around you to give you grace, you're in the right place. But that can't be our message. Our message is that Jesus was gentle and patient and gracious with us. And he wants to be gracious to you all around there too, right? Our message is John 1:16. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Here's one more. Our message can't even be we are Bible people. I love this thing. This particular one, because I think it's a great Bible. And again, I've asked hundreds of people in our church now, what's the most important thing for me not to break about our church? And so many of you have said, we have to always teach the Bible. And you're right, and we do, and we will. I thank God for 60 plus years of Bible preaching here, but even the Bible can be used for mission drift. If the teaching of the Bible doesn't point to Jesus, friend of sinners and savior of the world. Paul, who wrote a lot of the Bible, said to the Corinthians, for I am resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So very simply, our message must be that Jesus loves and forgives. All our other message should point to that message. That's the first thing for us to recommit ourselves to together today. The message of our mission is Jesus. You good with me there? If you're not, thank you for not saying it out loud. Here's number two. The master of our mission is Jesus. Our message and master is one and the same. Let's read a couple of these verses again. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he said, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus is the master, and as we go about his mission, we're to teach people to follow his commands. Are we going to drift away from that? Now, it's possible that you don't love the sound of that quite as much as the first one. Jesus saves often sounds better than Jesus commands. But I want us to see how amazing it is that Jesus is the master. First, let's remember the significance of Jesus' authority. Verse 18 says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Some translations say all power or all dominion have been given to me. Either way, the point is that Jesus is the real boss. Because remember, Jesus not only saved the world in his love, he created the world out of nothing but his own thoughts and power. He has necessarily all the authority that there could be. And let's see for a moment what that authority looks like. This is crazy. If we go to Matthew chapter 8, we see Jesus' mastery, his command, in absurd ways in back-to-back events. Check this out in Matthew 8, 23 to 27. And when he got into the boat, the disciples followed him, and behold, there was a great storm on the sea so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went out and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" That's what the highest authority looks like. Jesus said, "Storm, stop." And there wasn't just calm, there was great calm. He rose and commanded the wind, and it obeyed. If you think it's weird that Jesus gives commands, you don't really understand who he is. Storms obey him. He's the master of nature. And in the very next verse, he shows his authority in another way. This is verse 28 of Matthew 8. "And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, 'What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?' Now a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them, and the demons begged him, saying, 'If you cast us out, send us away to the herd of pigs.' And he said to them, 'Go.' So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters." These events are back to back. And here, because of the supernatural demonic work, the passage says that regular people like us could not even pass by these men. Then Jesus shows up and the demons just assume that he's come to destroy them. There's clearly no doubt that he both can and will destroy them. So they ask to be sent to the pigs, and all Jesus commands is go. That's it. One word. Jesus dominates the enemy. Demons obey the commands of Jesus. Storms obey the commands of Jesus. It just makes sense that we would obey the commands of Jesus and teach the world to obey the commands of Jesus. The mission to be and make disciples of Jesus is a mission to obey the master who has all the power and authority. He's the master. But also remember the perspective of these disciples that day as Jesus spoke about his authority and their obedience. What had he just done days earlier? Forty days prior, this omnipotent master of the natural and the supernatural had allowed himself to die on a cross, to draw all men to life in him. And then he rose from the dead to bring the power of his life to bear forever in the lives of those disciples and the generations of disciples that would come after. How does that make you feel about his commands? That changes how you feel about the commands. I want to teach you a new word. Jesus said in verse 20 of Matthew 28, this is word number two, "teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." The word for observe in the Greek is the word tereo. I say this word fairly often in my life because it's been important to me. It's most often, I believe, translated obey, because that's certainly the most important thing that this word is communicating. We're to obey the master. But look at the Greek dictionary definition and remember who is saying it. And obviously the idea here isn't merely checking some box of obedience. It carries a sense of guarding something precious, holding onto it carefully. Guys, biblical obedience isn't reluctant. Discipleship obedience isn't reluctant, because following the self-sacrificing Master Savior should lead to treasuring what Jesus said. And so many of you have experienced this. Remember, Peter said to Jesus, "Where else would we go? You alone have the words of life." That's the spirit of our obedience. To help, let me show you a picture of what tereo might look like. This is my son and his Elmo. I think I've done a great job of not showing a lot of pictures of him my first year here, but he's super cute. Check out this second one. And I want to point out two things about this picture. Notice the grip and notice the smile. This can be what Tereo looks like. He is happily guarding his Elmo, holding fast. He treasures it. He wants that Elmo because it is joy for him and disciples. That is what Jesus's commands deserve. Sometimes I kiss my Bible. It's not sad obedience. It's joyful following of all that the master says. The master of the universe doesn't just demand that we do things. He died for us. Right? He's already proved that his commands are good. They may feel costly at times, but they are always right and good. They do sometimes require sacrifice, but they are always and only given in absolute love. So the cry of the heart of the disciples should be, please, Jesus, tell me what to do. My daughter's trying to make a decision, and we asked Jesus to tell us what she should do while we drove here this morning. Tell me what to do, Jesus. You are the master. You have loved me perfectly. You're the master of all. I want to tereo your commands like a little child. That's what God wants for us, and that's what God wants for the people we tell about him, the people we disciple. He wants to give new life and then tell us how to live it. So Jesus is the message of our mission. He's the master of our mission. And third, he's the motivation. The motivation for our mission is Jesus. Let's read the very last sentence that Jesus gave in the book of Matthew and focus on one incredible word. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That grace is amazing. The all-powerful master over storms and demons and heaven and earth says to his followers, I am with you always. The Greek word for with is not something I've ever taught before because it just means with. But it's the word meta. And it is a primary preposition denoting accompaniment. Jesus says to his disciples, I will always accompany you to the end of the age. Let me ask you a question, another question. Who does Jesus, the master, the savior, the king, want to be with? He wants to be with hurting sinners with grave need all around the world. And how great is his desire to be with us? It's to the death. To the death. That's the most astounding, motivating good news in the world. The one God of all power left heaven for a frail body and a gruesome death so that he could accompany you through life and eternity. The storm ender, the demon silencer, allowed himself to be crucified and buried so that he could be with you at lunch this afternoon. And everybody needs to know. Everybody needs a chance to encounter the only love in the universe like that, the only power in the universe like that, the only command in the universe like that, the only hope in the universe like that. That is the mission. It's amazing. It's the most important thing in the world, and I want to give you three ways that you can advance that mission right here, right now. Three things that we can all do to be and make disciples. First thing is simply to share with someone. When's the last time you told somebody? I hope my preaching never feels like shame. I hope it feels like hope. You can. How could we not? This is the go and tell side of the mission of Jesus. I hope that as we remember the vastness of Jesus and the goodness of his commands and his desire to be with us, that it makes you want more people to get to experience him. It did for me this week. I found myself being more urgent than I've been in a while this week, trying to turn conversations at Target or Tyler Indoor Pickleball or in my neighborhood to opportunities to talk to people about Jesus. Guys, Jesus died. The Master died on purpose for the forgiveness of sins because that was the only way for him to get to be with the person bringing us our pickup order at Target. And that changes the nature of that interaction. Man, we know it's so easy. This is opportunity because it's so easy in our lives to focus on the work we have to do. I do it. The oil changes that need to happen, the cowboy hats we want to buy. But the mission is here every moment because the mission is the people around us that need the one and only. Share with someone. Look for chances. Look for one chance this week to bring Jesus up with someone in your life. That's actually something that we're going to focus on beginning in January as a church. Our church staff, we're planning on helping us all be more intentional about preparing to tell people about the goodness of Jesus and to be more proactive to do it. That's the go and tell of the mission that you can do this week. Share with someone. Second, serve your neighbor. And here's what I mean by that. For the next few months, we are going to try to be more ready for the come and see aspect of the mission of Jesus. As a church, in one sense, we go and share, right? We go to Target. I'm going to Zambia next month with one of our teams. We go and tell, but we also invite people to come and see. That's how we got here right now. Since the day that Jesus originally gave the Great Commission in Galilee, isn't it amazing that the church and his gospel have made it to Tyler, Texas? And we, Grace Community, are part of the mission of Jesus in Tyler. And one of the ways that you can help accomplish the mission of Jesus is by serving one another and serving the families in our community when we gather here to learn about Jesus and worship Jesus and make disciples of Jesus. That's going to be an emphasis for us this fall for two reasons. First, the good news, which means a little bit of bad news is coming. First, the good news. The good news is that on average, this summer, we had about 110 more people a Sunday than last summer. Summer over summer, we grew by about 11%. And we want the opportunity to help more people in Tyler move towards joy in Jesus. Thank God. Also, usually a church expects to see a 10 to 20% increase in church attendance in the fall over that summer. It's very normal. Which means there's even more need for us to serve one another and the people who are coming to Grace through the discipleship opportunities at our church. Now, the not as good news is that we already didn't have enough people serving in most of our ministries. If you're wondering if I'm about to ask you to serve, I've already put it on the screen, so you shouldn't be surprised. In fact, churches our size often have at least 100 more people using their gifts to serve the mission than we have serving right now. So for the last few months, our team has been working on serving role descriptions and onboarding processes. Doesn't that sound exciting? For each serving opportunity across all of our ministries so that more people in our church can serve the church to advance the mission of the gospel as people come to our church. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to preach about spiritual gifts, August 30th. Everyone will have the opportunity to serve with the gift that God has given you in some way. But for today, because we have new families coming to our church every week, I asked our staff, the leaders of our kids, students, and connections teams, to let me know what we need in order to serve our church and our community well right now. And here's the opportunity. We need 22 more kids leaders. Doesn't say, that's really not a lot. Look around. We have another service like this. We have an 8 o'clock service. I'm about to have you get out your phones. Even the 8 o'clock service got out their phones. 22, and some of them, their serving toddler days are behind them. And I told them, thank you for serving way before I was born in this church. I'm not asking you to go. You guys can serve toddlers, okay? 22 more kids. It doesn't have to be toddlers. We're also looking for 18 more connections, guest services leaders. That's greeters to welcome people. That's ushers to help people find seats. That we're going to start a parking team. If you have ever seen that parking lot at the wrong time, there's literally not a parking space. Especially at 11 when our Grace Espanol campus is happening in the next service. That's full as well. And we need 10 more student leaders as the school year begins to disciple teens throughout this school year. 22, 18, and 10. And so many of you, as we've had meals together over the last few months, have told me that you're ready to step in and serve. And I told you that fall would be the time. It's time. And there's a real need. Because listen, this is happening right now. I want us to fix this. When people come to Grace, we want them to be able to focus on the message of Jesus, not how many toddlers are all in the same room at the same time. Well, we had to close two classrooms last week. A lot of toddlers crammed in together. That's not what a parent wants to see. We want people seeing the love of Jesus, not trying to figure out where they could park their car. We want our students, the old ones and the new ones, to have someone to intentionally help them toward Jesus. So I'm praying that this week, 40 to 50 people will step up to serve the mission to be and make disciples of Jesus for the glory of God. It's the biggest mission on earth. It will be the realest thing in your life. Will you please take out your phone? I'm not going to look. I'm going to give you a second to do it. If an 89-year-old man in the 8 o'clock can scan a QR code, you can do it. So will you put up that? Yeah, so you are gifted to serve the mission. So if you can make it happen, I tested it from all of the room. The QR code does work, but you got to really want it. Or you can type in 13 characters, gcc.org/serve. gcc.org/serve. Again, there's going to be a lot of opportunities in the next couple weeks, but today what we're looking for is people who will give 3 hours a month to be with our kids, making disciples of the next generation. A little less than that for guest services and connections. I will tell you, I'm one of our group leaders. I'm the co-pilot from Rent Taylor, so I don't want to take much credit, but I go, and it's a more of a time commitment than those other two. But we need 10 people to do that. You'll select your campus, you'll select the ministry area that you are interested in, and somebody on our staff will reach out to you early this week. I've already told our staff, if there's too many, I'll call everybody. So if you get a call from me, that just means there was a lot of, that means we it worked, all right? I'm not done. This is a big mission. We have another thing that we can do for it. So will you please fill that out? One more small way we can be about the mission of Jesus together. Share with someone, serve your neighbor, and three, sit closer together. Now, it's a little worse than I thought it would be as I do this right now. So, you know, often when you come into this auditorium and we're already singing and standing, it's really hard to find a seat. Today, it's virtually impossible. And again, it's going to get more crowded. We are exploring launching another service. There's a thing in... I don't need to get into all the details. We're exploring launching another service. In the meantime, we need to make space where it doesn't look like a wall of people when you come in so that people can experience the love of Jesus. They can engage with this body of Christ. So I'm asking you to sit closer together. Jesus did the hardest part. We can be willing to touch elbows for the sake of the mission, for the sake of more people hearing about Jesus. Here's what we're going to try. Later this month, I see Steve, one of our elders, on the back row right now. I'm so sorry, Steve. I did not give you a heads up. What we're going to do is we are going to reserve the back three rows until after the service has started. That doesn't mean wait until after the service started. That means come in and sit closer together. If I see you guys just standing there, our ushers will lovingly guide you. Here's what I'm asking. Let me put it this way. I'm asking you to take the shortest mission trip of your life and move three rows forward. Sit three. You guys already did it. They're usually on row four. I didn't even tell them. Look at that, proactive. Three rows closer so that more families can be a part of this, the life in our church in this season. So share, serve, sit closer. So our message is and always will be Jesus and his grace. Our master is Jesus and he is good. He wants to be with us. He wants to be with our friends. He wants to be with our neighbors. Thank you guys for being a church that is about that in big ways and small ways. And let's ask him to continue to use us, to continue to help us to be with him. He doesn't just want us to work, he wants us to be with. Let's thank him for it. Let's worship him together right now. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you that we are your mission before we're on your mission. Thank you so much that we got to experience your love and your satisfaction, your purpose, before we try to extend that to anyone else. And I pray for my brothers and sisters in these green chairs that you would help them to experience your withness. At lunch today, you want to be with them. Going to bed tonight, you are with them. Wake it up tomorrow that you want them to be in your presence. And I pray that they would have it, they would enjoy it, that they would experience it. And God, I pray that as that happens, that more and more you would open our eyes to how we can help other people be and make disciples of Jesus. Jesus, you are not just the best, the only ultimate good thing that could ever happen to anybody. And I pray that you would help us to share. I pray that you would help us to serve. And I pray that you would help us to sit closer together. You are worthy of it all. Your mission is so beautiful. We trust you. We sing to you now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand and let's sing about Jesus.